Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
The Satisfied Eye International Film Festival will return for its third season in Epsom in the UK and will run from the 9th to the 11th of October. Joining us on the Big Fred Tuesday to tell us more about it is its artistic director, Chris Hastings. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's a real pleasure. And let's get right into it. This, I believe, is the first time that Fred gets to speak about a Satisfied Eye International Film Festival.
It is the longest name for a festival in the history of festivals ever, I think.
Well, you know, it could be right up there, but I love the name, actually. And, you know, given the fact that this is the first time that we speak about this, this festival, I was wondering, would you maybe like to introduce it a bit? You know, maybe talk about its history a bit and its mission statement.
Absolutely. Well, this is our third season. I'm a filmmaker myself, so it actually started from just, you know, I'm sure all filmmakers have these stories. I just spent a long part of my career traveling around the festival circuit, you know, maybe going to 20, 30 festivals a year around the world, and the experiences weren't always positive, shall we say. This is a story that, you know, anybody who's ever been to any of the festivals will have heard me tell, but there was kind of a last incident that was the straw that broke the camel's back, where I just won an award at a festival that I couldn't attend. And they sent me the trophy, and that trophy arrived about a month after the festival, wrapped up in a box. And when I opened it, it had instructions on how to super glue it together, along with an invoice to pay for the trophy that I'd won and to pay for the postage. And it was just kind of the moment that I just thought, no, this is just getting ridiculous. You know, there's a lot of festivals out there. You know, there's a lot of fantastic festivals, and there's lots of festivals that I really love, but there are also a lot that take advantage of filmmakers. So I just kind of, you know, maybe slightly egomaniacally thought, right, I want to make the kind of festival that I would like to go to. And that's where Satisfied Eye started to evolve and where it sprang from. And that was, as I say, 3 years ago.
Right. That's an amazing story about that award. It sounds like a Kinder Surprise award or something.
Incredible. It was just, you know, it kind of takes away from the excitement of winning an award when you have to super glue it together.
Yeah. we won't name names, no, but anyways, So the idea is to kind of just improve the festival experience?
Well, there's two sides to it. So there's that part of it. And there is also the fact that, you know, I think that the whole thing with films, I'm first and foremost a writer. I am obsessed by research, spend a lot of my career doing research. And I'm one of those people who doesn't really leave the house without a survey form in my pocket to ask people various questions. So before we launched the festival in that first year, we did lots and lots of research into just, you know, normal viewing habits, normal cinema goers, not filmmakers, what they liked, what they didn't like, what they, you know, thought the film industry was. And just discovered that the vast majority of normal people, as it were, not to say that filmmakers aren't normal, but just your average cinema goer, doesn't actually really know what the film industry is. And that the really scary part for me, as somebody who's worked on a lot of short films, is that most members of the public thought that all short films were made by students. And that's not to say that student films aren't great films as well, but what they thought as student films were then the kind of things that, you know, was, you know, somebody shooting a 3-minute film with their little brother and using ketchup as blood, that kind of thing. That's what they assume. So there's this whole massive part of the industry that people didn't realize even existed or had a completely unrealistic view of it. And the other side of the festival was to try and change that perception. So, you know, we're very much doing it one person at a time, but introducing audiences to the fact that, you know, there are these incredible filmmakers making incredible short films that without film festivals, they wouldn't even know existed.
Right. So is the focus on short filmmaking?
So we do everything. You know, we're features, shorts, animation, documentary. We do show everything. I think like a lot of film festivals, shorts do tend to be the focus, just because in terms of the fact that on the independent circuit, that's where most of the work is being done. And that's where most of the, you know, the emphasis is. And, you know, we see incredible ones. You know, I say it every year that as a filmmaker myself, we get submissions and I just think I might as well give up. Because, you know, you'll get a film from a 17-year-old, you know, talking to student films, we get a film from a 17-year-old student, and I think I could live to 100 and I'd never create something, you know, that incredible. And that's kind of what we're trying to get out there. And, you know, we're doing it every time. You know, we get all the audiences to fill in feedback forms after every screening, and each year the audience, you know, tell us we just had no idea there were these films out there and these incredible films, incredible filmmakers. So we're just trying to kind of spread the message so that people aren't just looking to go to the cinema and see, I don't know, Robert Downey Jr. They do actually start actively seeking out, you know, this kind of content.
Yeah, I mean, there's people making great stuff all the time, but the challenge then is actually getting it out there into the world. There aren't as many ways in which to do that. Sometimes the filmmakers themselves struggle to know what to do with the film once they've made it.
Absolutely. It's quite interesting. So, you know, as a filmmaker myself, I've discovered that I think every filmmaker at one point in their life should try and run a film festival, because it is illuminating. It really is. You get a sense of what's out there, both ends of the spectrum. You know, it's really hard because you do receive films where you just think, yeah, you know, you're not going to make it. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's not going to happen. And you get other people where you'll see a film and you just think, my God, you know, I feel privileged to watch this. And, you know, then somewhere in the middle, you get films that are fantastic. And you just think, I really, really hope that, you know, somebody, you know, up the hierarchy sees this and, you know, manages to give you a great career, because you really deserve it. So, you know, you really do see every single element of the spectrum of success, failure, and everything in between.
So from what you've said about the festival so far, I understand that it's as much for audiences as much as it is for the filmmakers themselves, right? I mean, what can you tell me about its industry section, for example?
Well, so, you know, we for the first time this year, actually, so we've now just launched a magazine, an industry magazine for the festival. So it'll be the first one this year, which goes out to all sales agents and distributors. And we, you know, we just want to do everything that we can to promote the filmmakers that we work with. We rather, you know, probably slightly cheesily describe ourselves as like a little family. So we keep in touch with all the filmmakers that are official selections and win awards. So we've just produced and we'll be releasing the magazine at the same time as the festival next week. That, you know, promotes all the, you know, previous, not all, but, you know, all the selections from this year, some of the previous award winners, a bit of a, you know, story here and there about what they're doing now and where they're going. And, you know, lots of them have achieved an incredible success. You know, one of them's just had their short film picked up by Studio Canal to be turned into a feature film. We've had, you know, some of our films have gone on to be nominated or to win short film Oscars. So it's, you know, it's just trying to help any way we can. And our closing ceremony in our first year, we had somebody turn up and say they wanted to, you know, invest in one of the filmmakers' films. And although, you know, that is the kind of the top of what's happening, and, you know, the most positive things. And we're not saying that you turn up to our festival and suddenly you're having money thrown at you and big producers are going to be, you know, helping you make your next movie. But we're also connecting the filmmakers with the audiences as well. You know, that's a really big part of what we do. And I think there's nothing more valuable than to actually be sitting in a cinema with real audiences, because most film festivals, or a lot of the film festivals that I used to go to, you're sitting with your peers, and you'll never sit in a cinema with, you know, another filmmaker who'll come up to you and say, yeah, I didn't really like that, or, you know, that wasn't so good. Whereas audiences are quite brutal sometimes. They're really honest. And, you know, that might sound strange, but it's a really positive experience, because that honesty means that, you know, you're really learning where your film sits. And, you know, to be fair, I don't think we've ever had anybody give any negative feedback, because we do have a particularly high quality program.
Right. Speaking about, like, sitting in cinemas, obviously these are difficult times that we're living in.
Yeah.
And the pandemic has impacted the world of film at large, festivals all over the world as well. And how has it impacted the Satisfied Eye International Film Festival?
It's been a challenge. And this is one of those places where, it, you know, all of the responsibility falls on my shoulders, not in terms of the work or anything like that, but in terms of the decision, because we are a completely voluntary festival, completely volunteer led. We're not financed. We, you know, don't have government funding or anything. So all the decisions, all the work, etc., is done by a team of volunteers. And in terms of the pandemic, it was very much me who decided, if we can't have a live event, we don't have a festival. I've been attending a lot of online festivals, and for me, in terms of our ethos and what we're trying to achieve, I don't think online works for us. So, you know, to be fair, you know, we are more hybrid than completely live, because our Q&As and some of our talks are pre-recorded. Our closing ceremony will be pre-recorded. But I was very eager that our screenings will always be live. And if they can't be live, you know, taking them online, it's very difficult, because then every festival becomes kind of homogenized. You know, it's very difficult to try and tell what's different from one festival to the other, because a lot of what makes festivals unique is their location, the people who are running them, etc. And if you can't see any of that, then yeah, telling the difference becomes very hard. So yeah, you know, I was very eager that we would be a live event, but of course only if it was safe, only if the government would allow it. I'm actually, I'm high risk myself, so I take safety very seriously. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that we had a venue that would allow us to do that. So, you know, we're at the Odeon Cinemas, who you know, have been fantastic, to be honest. You know, we're just hiring the venue, so it's not like I'm getting anything out of promoting them. But, you know, they completely clean the entire venue and screen between every single block of films. You know, they make sure the social distancing is going on and that people are wearing masks, etc. So, you know, we just wanted to make sure that we had an event where people could actually sit and watch the film, because, you know, when a filmmaker makes a movie, that's, you know, how is it intending it to be seen on a screen, not on a laptop or somebody's TV at home.
You mentioned something that caught my ear. You said that a lot of what makes each festival unique is the location. So that prompts the question, what is it about Epsom that makes this festival so unique?
Well, Epsom is, you know, Epsom's one of those really strange places in terms of the fact you talk to anybody in Epsom, we think we're world famous, because we've got the Epsom Derby, which is allegedly a world famous race. It's the location of where a suffragette famously threw herself in front of the king's horse at the start of the 20th century and died and became something of a martyr. And we're obviously also famous for Epsom salts. We did a survey last year, I think, that we contacted lots of previous filmmakers to find out what they knew about Epsom and, you know, how much they knew about all of these historical facts, because we are quite a historical town, and discovered literally zero of the people who filled in our survey knew about all of these facts. So it's one of those things that we are a historical town. We're literally a stone's throw from London. Well, literally, that's a complete lie. It can't be literally a stone's throw. We're a 30-minute train ride from London. You'd have to have a very strong arm. But what we normally do, we then have like networking events in London and bring people down to the festival, which sadly, once again, we couldn't do that this year. So we're keeping within the same location. But yeah, I think location is important to most festivals. And I know, you know, there are festivals, I don't know, you know, somewhere in Canada where they take you on a walk into the mountains as part of the experience. And, you know, we tend to do things here. Last year, we were actually in Kingston because our venue wasn't available here last year. So we just shifted to Kingston for a year and took people on you know, rides down the river as part of the festival. So I think it's, you know, a festival, when it's done right, is more than just a festival. It's an experience.
Right. And, you know, before I forget to ask, what are the dates for this year?
So it's the 9th to the 11th of October.
Right.
So it's the Friday to the Sunday, all day. And then we're screening our pre-recorded closing award ceremony on the Monday night. So that'll actually be screened on the 12th.
And just so to make sure that I've got it right, it's a mix of in-person events, online events.
Yeah. So all of our screenings are live. Everything else isn't. So what we're doing is we've got pre-recorded Q&As, which will be screened after the films, actually in the cinema, but they will also be available online as well.
Oh, right. So the films are going to be in physical screenings.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So the film, you won't be able to see the films online. So that was the decision we made. It's a really hard thing. You know, it's the question that everybody gets asked at the moment is about, you know, the power of Netflix and streaming, and the fact that, you know, festivals are currently trying to compete with Netflix and Amazon and everybody else. And given the choice between sitting there and watching a film that's 20 minutes long with a, you know, with actors you've never heard of, directed by somebody you've never heard of, people are more likely just to switch over to Keanu Reeves in John Wick on Netflix. And, you know, there is a certain element of truth to that. So it means you do still have to do things, you know, when you're doing anything online to engage. And I think that's the big challenge at the moment.
And it's a shame because, you know, this should be an age of discovery, and what, and, you know, discovering films online should be something that people are really passionate about, discovering new things.
Absolutely. And I do think, you know, everybody criticizes people like Netflix, but I do think Netflix are actually good for the industry because, you know, it's only since Netflix came along that people have been far more willing to watch documentaries. They've been far more willing to watch subtitled films. And, you know, you look at their, you know, that they have their list of the top 10 most popular things on Netflix at the moment. You know, quite regularly you'll have a documentary in there, quite regularly you'll have a, you know, piece of foreign cinema in there. So I do think that people like Netflix are actually broadening appetites, which can only be a good thing for festivals like this, and does show that, you know, that there is appeal to audiences for things that aren't just, you know, Avengers, and, you know, use Avengers as an example, but, you know, I'm like anybody else. I love Avengers and I love Robert Downey Jr. But, you know, when you're trying to promote these other things, people do start to think, well, you know, it's, the perfect example is whenever we're flyering for the festival, you know, we go out with flowers in our hands, with our festival t-shirts on, giving out flowers, saying you'd really like to come to our film festival. And the question we get asked most is, you know, who's in it? You know, what film, you know, which directors are coming? And it's like, well, no, that's not what this is about. And, you know, some people are willing to stand there and have a conversation with you and learn about the industry. And other people are just like, no, I want Keanu Reeves. And, you know, if he's not in it, I'm not coming. And that's kind of the big challenge. And that's the mindset that we're slowly trying to shift.
So speaking of this year's program, what can you tell me about it?
It's, you know, our program gets better year on. I think it's the fact, you know, in the first year we had a fantastic program, and I think, you know, we really feel an affinity with a lot of the filmmakers. But then what happens as your festival becomes better known and people start realizing that you have a really strong program, you get more and more submissions, the quality of the submissions improve. So, you know, I think in our first year we had like 2 premieres, this year we've got 30 premieres. In our first year we had films from, you know, 10 different countries, this year from 30 countries. We've got 90 films in total. Most of them are short films, but we do, you know, we have, as example, we've got a couple of Oscar winners in there. We've got, you know, our strongest section always, and it's very much what I was talking about in terms of watching films by 17-year-olds and thinking, you know, I might as well give up. Our strongest section this year by far is our student filmmaker section, which we are not calling our student filmmaker, and our student filmmaker trophy is now being changed to One to Watch, purely on the basis, as I say, because members of the public, you mentioned student, and they have this, you know, immediate preconceived, it's almost a prejudice of what a student film is. So we're trying to change that mindset. So, you know, I think some of my favourite films this year are all in the student film category. We've got, you know, a film like Dog Watch, which is, you know, a film that is just so multi-layered and so complex, you know, about somebody who loses their job and is asked to, you know, just because of, you know, it's a bit like the system here, you have to take a job that you're vastly overqualified for, while his mother is at home dying of, and it's, you know, it's just this brutal film that I just look at it and I just think, I want the filmmaker to come to our festival because I want to talk to them about it and I want to engage and find out where the story came from. And that's the case with so many of these films. But we, you know, we've got an incredible selection this year. We've got, you know, every single section you look at, whether it's documentaries, you know, we've got film Underage Engineers, whether or not it's shorts, films like Dog Watch, we've got Neighbor's Window, which won the Oscar this year for best live action short. We've got feature films like Dog's Death, which is this agonizingly painful Argentinian movie about a vet who accidentally kills one of his patients, and it goes into this horrible spiral of events, and one of our judges described it as being like something out of Fawlty Towers. And yeah, animation is incredibly strong as well. Our animation is one of those sections where each year we really struggle to make it fit it into one program. We could, you know, probably have an entire day of animation, because I think animation in the world at the moment is incredibly strong.
It sounds like a very varied program.
Absolutely. Eclectic is always the word I use. It's like we have a section called Best of British, this year. Well, we always have a kind of best of British section, and it's subtitled because people immediately, well, it's British films, and, you know, therefore, why is it subtitled? But we've got a film made by a British, you know, somebody who lives not far from here, who's made a film about people in Iraq who refused to fight during Saddam Hussein's regime, and Saddam Hussein had their ears cut off rather delightfully, and, you know, they suffer, you know, this incredible stigma from that because they spend the rest of their lives being seen as a coward, and, you know, it's very visible for all to see because, you know, you see anybody who doesn't have ears, right, they're a coward during Saddam Hussein's regime. And this is somebody local who made that documentary. It's set in Iraq and obviously it's subtitled. And, you know, so we have a real mix of films in there that probably aren't what you'd expect when you go and see, you know, the certain programs.
Well, Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you about Satisfied Eye International Film Festival. What's the best way that people can keep up with news and updates about the festival?
SatisfiedEye.com, nice and easy to remember, or once again, Facebook, facebook.com/SatisfiedEye.
All right, thanks, Chris. Best of luck.
Lovely. Thank you very much for having me.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.